Today on Tim and Sid, the Raptors do it again.
The Jets, unfortunately, do it again.
And the Kachucks are ready to do the All-Star game all over again. They've been there before.
They've been ready for this moment their entire lives, McAuliffe.
As kids, and now they're doing it again. We'll talk to Brady later on the show. It's Tim and Sid on Sportsnet.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
It is Thursday, January 23rd. I'm Tim McAuliffe, sitting beside Sid Sixero. This is Tim and Sid live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Twitter. You send your tweets in during the show. Sometimes we read them.
Correct.
At Tim and Sid is how you can do that. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts.
Facts.
Are also Da Bomb.
What?
When's the last time you heard someone say Da Bomb?
About a second ago.
No, before that.
Oh, I see.
7 years?
Yeah, maybe more.
Could have been 7 years.
Maybe more, yeah.
The Tim and Sid podcast is available 24/7. And if you would like to stream the show, Sportsnet Now is how you can do that. Just download the Sportsnet app for more details, because I'm not smart enough to give you the real ones. Coming up, over the next 2 hours, we will discuss Austin Matthews.
What's up with his wrist?
Zion Williamson.
What a debut.
Super Bowl 54.
What a matchup.
Eli Manning.
Hall of Famer.
And Why am I drawing a blank on the impression?
I don't know who the impression is. I started with what I thought was, what's up with the wrist?
Right.
I thought it was Jerry Seinfeld, and then it morphed into the dearly departed Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke. Thank you.
I just, I was doing random, and then it just kind of morphed into Alan Thicke.
Well, whatever happened there, I enjoyed it. NHL All-Star break.
Has arrived.
Someone texted me during yesterday's
Boner.
Show. Someone texted me during yesterday's show.
Yeah.
That you, during the Jerry D segment, you dropped the Kawhi laugh. And we missed it.
The Kawhi laugh is very, the only reason why I can do the Kawhi laugh, and I have to hear the Kawhi laugh to do the Kawhi laugh, because I just don't do it, honestly.
Ha, ha, ha. It's a terrible.
Just like that.
That's wrong.
I have to hear it, but it's very close to my natural laugh, which is what people kept tweeting.
It's not. I disagree vehemently.
I swear.
No, I don't doubt people sent that. I think it's a wrong opinion.
People sent it, and then I figured it out because it is somewhat close to my real laugh every once in a while.
I don't know.
Like, when you get me going for real, it's not even close. I'm just telling you, a little chuckle.
Right.
Little chuckle is very Kawhi-ish.
Okay. If anyone hears the Kawhi laugh at any point during the show, at Tim and Sid,
who texted you?
I'm not going to say. It was no one important.
Oh, snap. Coming up a little later on, we'll be just, only Sid and the person who tweeted knows who he just murdered in the face.
And I didn't have to say a name, but you know. Those are the best rips when you don't have to say it publicly. Yeah.
Coming up a little later on, we'll be joined by the newly minted All-Star, Brady Tkachuk, going because Austin Matthews has that wrist problem. He of the Ottawa Senators. It's media day in St. Louis. Skills competition scheduled for tomorrow night. 3-on-3 All-Star game goes Saturday.
Brian Burke will also join us in studio. We'll get his take on the Austin Matthews news yesterday regarding the sore wrist. His take on a Jets team that have 5 wins in their last 18 games
and
after the loss last night.
And if he likes the All-Star skills, does he not seem like a guy that would say, man, let's just play the game? He seems like a guy that doesn't like the All-Star game, period.
Okay, how about this? I'll bring up a list of everything that's scheduled for the skills competition tomorrow night.
Oh, good
on
idea.
Sportsnet and CBC.
Yay or nay?
I believe 85% of which he will not like.
So you're with me on it.
I think you're bang on.
Is
I think,
it just
I think
because
Brian Burke
he's a curmudgeon?
Here. No, it's because he's a realist, right? And he doesn't suffer fools or foolish games, right?
Right.
He's an old school hockey guy, Berkey.
But
so I predict he will hate most of the competitions except for the Canada versus USA women's 3-on-3 hockey game, 20 minutes.
As we've said before, however, All-Star games are for kids. Like, we've said that a million times.
Two
right?
things are for kids.
Tricks
are for kids.
Tricks are for kids.
And All-Star games are
which
for kids.
Is really creepy. And number two.
It's a little creepy.
Very creepy.
Did you ever have tricks?
I didn't
when
mind
you were
tricks.
A kid? Someone I never had tricks when I was
did
a kid.
Did you know, and I don't know this for a fact, and I may have gotten it from the Le Batard show, I'm trying to source it here. All Fruit Loops are the same flavor, just different colors.
Man, shut up.
I need someone to look that up and confirm whether or not that is true. I have heard
life has changed.
I have heard all Fruit Loops are the same flavor, simply different colors. And if it's wrong, I'm blaming Stu Gatz.
It's a safe person to blame. Countdown to Super Bowl 50. Speaking of Miami, Super Bowl 54 on the horizon. Adam Rank of NFL Network will join us.
See what you did there.
Plus, Kenny the Jet Smith of Inside the NBA. Busy show. Let's, for the moment, Tim, because there's a lot of basketball in the air, begin with basketball here on this edition of Tim and Sid.
Someone wrote in, and I just lost it. French wrote in and says, how does this guy get away with saying boner on national TV and radio? LMAO. It was a character on the dearly departed show of Alan Thicke.
Stabone was his last. What was
Richard
his
Stabone.
Richard Stabone.
Right, which was Dick Stabone.
Yeah.
They called him boner.
Yeah. On ABC.
On ABC.
For years.
What was Growing Pains was the name of the show. I almost forgot the name
Ironically
of the show.
Ironically enough, boner was on Growing
Pains. I get it.
No Kawhi laugh, see? You're full of it.
I get it.
No Kawhi laugh.
All right. So that's why French McKenzie or Fennec McKenzie. Fennec. Hey, he's Maltese. Kifinti.
What's the question again? Tim, how does Tim get away with saying boner on TV?
Yeah.
Well, you open your mouth and you say boner. That's how you do it.
We begin with a big game last night. Scotiabank Arena.
Got me excited.
Two of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. The Sixers already without Joel Embiid suffered another huge blow early when Josh Richardson left the game with a hamstring injury. The Raptors took full advantage, led by Fred VanVleet. Finished 22 points, including six threes and big ones at that, en route to a 107-95 victory. So, Sid, as we begin to see a more healthy version of the Toronto Raptors, Patrick McCaw aside, broken nose, didn't help. What do you make of this Raptor team, and can you evaluate this Raptor team?
I have my opinions on evaluating this Raptor team. I also have the Wikipedia explanation for what's going on with Fruit Loops. Which one would you like first?
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody texted in, literally, what Wikipedia says about this Fruit Loop controversy that basically it's the same flavor.
Should we save it till the end?
Okay, let's save the Kellogg's thing. Let's talk about something that's good for you as well.
I'm going to put down on my list of things to talk about.
Yeah.
I got Raptors chat. I got Siakam.
Can we put some things on the list?
I got Zion.
Because I want to ask Berkey a few things.
And I'll put, well, but he's not in this segment.
No, but some of these things are evergreen.
What? Okay. And
you
Fruit
and I,
Loops.
I brought up something with you. We'll talk about Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops.
I want to talk about how refrigerated salsa is better than regular room temperature salsa. Refrigerated salsa is significantly better than room temperature salsa. And I don't know why.
I completely agree with it. I don't know why either.
It's so good when it hits your lips. Maybe someone else can give me that definition, Johnny Wikipedia.
All right,
send
awesome.
It to me.
So for Brian Burke, we have Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops.
And salsa.
And salsa. We'll ask Brian about Zion Williamson.
Salsa.
Because people like to say salsa. Let's talk about the Raptors.
All right, evaluating the Raptors as they get healthy. How much salsa does this team have?
They got some spicy pee.
Hey!
Right?
Pam, 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 pam. I'll give it to you. Don't.
Damn it.
Don't give it to yourself. I can do it. Never mind.
They got some spicy pee.
Go ahead, do yourself.
They got some spicy pee.
Yeah.
Stabone. They got some spicy pee. Sometimes they're a little mild, right? A little slow start to last night. Couldn't defend the three.
Yeah.
But then they get going. And then they taste brilliantly. Explain to me how this Raptors team, without adding another guy, without adding anyone, can't be there with Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Final again. Explain it to me playing the defense they can play.
Okay,
explain it to me with Marc Gasol going 7 of 7 with his teammates begging him to shoot more. Explain to me why, with Fred VanVleet shooting nearly 50% from three in his last 8 games, why this team, Pascal Siakam's not even that guy right now.
Is that how you'll define the season if they make an Eastern Conference Final? That's why I want to stop you.
Okay.
And just jump in and say, what does that mean? What is making the Eastern Conference? What you're saying is, are they not the second best team in the East?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Because the Bucks are way better.
And I'm also saying I don't know what the Bucks will look like in another 7-game series at that stage. What has Giannis learned? Will Eric Bledsoe show up? Will they acquire a guy who's not garbage like Mirotic? These are the questions how will they look without Brogdon? These are the questions I have still for Milwaukee. I know they have a nice little lead atop the conference, but they could be better this time around.
Can I give you a couple of stats?
Go ahead.
One I've already said in the show, but it bears repeating. I don't know. The Bucks are on pace for 70 wins.
It's a good season. my math says that's a pretty good season.
I feel like the Raptors all over again. They will not get any respect until they win. But check out this stat. As of right now, the Bucks have the best point differential in the history of the NBA.
What?
Like ever.
Say that again.
They have the best point differential in a season. Now, these are per game numbers.
Right.
Of any team in NBA history.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I've said it now two times.
I can't believe what my ears are hearing.
The Milwaukee Bucks of season 2019-2020, as of right now, have the best point differential in NBA history. Here's the follow-up stat. The other four teams on our list of five are the 71-72 Lakers, the 70-71 Bucks, the 95-96 Bulls, and the 2016-2017 Golden State Warriors. You know what all those teams also have in common? They all won the title that year. That's a damn good stat, is it not?
You know what the other issue is?
Thanks, Jay Sands.
None of those other teams had Eric Bledsoe at point. There's just some parts of that Milwaukee team I don't trust. I don't believe in. I'm sorry.
I get it. And it's just like the Raptors last year with the rest of the media. Here's the point that I sunk my teeth into when you were making the point about the Raptors. And I agree with it. I think what was learned last year was how you can turn a game in the NBA with your defense. I think that when DeMar DeRozan was here, the team didn't really know that. Kawhi Leonard comes to the team, proves it over and over again, and then Mark Gasol joins the fray, and they realize, oh, dear God, we can change any game and or finish any game with our defense. And what happened last night against the Sixers?
Strong finish.
Start was awful.
Couldn't defend a three.
Couldn't defend much, and then they locked down last three quarters. Sixers shoot 30% from the floor. The jam was done before it was done.
Absolutely.
Right? So the Raptors can do that. You know the only team in the NBA who's better defensively than the Toronto Raptors? The Milwaukee Bucks.
Really?
In defensive efficiency.
Really?
And field goal percentage.
That's interesting to me.
Defense.
That's so really interesting to me.
So for me, what the Bucks do well, and they did it well last year, I'm going
to
be fair.
Yeah, they didn't have. I mean, they got to an Eastern Conference Final. Yeah, they did some good things.
And they
absolutely.
And maybe if they didn't poop their pants, they end up in the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
because it looked like Milwaukee was ready to run away with it.
Had the Raptors 0-2 for God's sake.
Right.
Let's remember how it played out.
Right. So I don't know what these Raptors will be. They are damn good defensively, and they might be able to pass Milwaukee defensively because let's remember they've had their top seven players in a game together 14 of 44 games this year.
Wow. That's impressive. Tim, the one thing you and I didn't mention last night, I was kind of pissed at myself. That was an ESPN game in the States last night.
ESPN.
That was an ESPN game.
Yeah, for the layperson.
And, I mean, we follow a lot of the same type of kind of North American basketball people, so to speak. It's always funny when the Raptors get on ESPN and they hadn't been there for a while. Because all I saw in my feed was, nobody wants to see the Raptors come April. Nobody wants to see the Raptors come May.
Right.
But idiot, you just figured that out? Nobody wants to see. Have you paid any attention?
No.
They almost signed me to a 10-day contract. They've been so banged up. And they're third in the East? You're just figuring this out now? Basketball?
They're 30-14 with you, me, and Chuck Nevitt playing.
It's a disgrace.
Yeah.
Great line.
Thank you. You love my Chuck Nevitt references.
Bad Kawhi. I'm sorry. It's astonishing to me, though, the one night the Raptors get back on ESPN. And keep in mind, they're missing Joel Embiid last night. And Josh Richardson leaves after 4 minutes. He's gone with a hamstring for 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, the Raptors, you don't want to see the Raptors come the playoffs. You don't want to see the Raptors? The Raptors are probably the hardest working and smartest team in the damn league, considering the hurdles that I'm put in front of them. Players, coaching staff, executives, they're all smarter than those dudes. Freddie, Marc Gasol, and when Serge Ibaka looks like that last night off the bench, you're dead. Right. I don't care how you start, it's how you finish. It's astonishing to me still the ignorance that does exist in the basketball world until the Raptors get back on ESPN. And everyone's like, whoa, what is this? You know what that is? NBA champions minus a guy. Important guy, but minus one guy. So just a bit more respect is needed.
So should I wait before I promo Kenny Smith?
No, this is a great time to promo
Kenny Smith. This is a great time to be fair, though, and one of the producers on this show, Sheldon Alexander, passed this along to me earlier today. The Raptors' point-per-game improvements this season versus last season can smack someone who doesn't watch a hell of a lot in the face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Fred VanVleet is up 7.5 points per game. Norm Powell is up 7.3 points. Like, everyone's talking about Pascal Siakam being an NBA All-Star starter, and we'll find out tonight whether or not he is. He's third on the list in points-per-game improvements with the Raptors. Now, to be fair, he was the most improved player last year, and he's right. Still popping off on 6.6 points per game more than last year. But even Kyle Lowry, without Kawhi Leonard, there was a vacuum, and that vacuum is being filled with everybody. And it's unbelievable how well all these guys are playing. So to be fair to those guys who don't watch every game, it's hard. And I think...
But if you're just an NBA guy...
But you and I have talked about this.
It ain't that hard.
We talked about this last year. I went on this huge rant during the playoffs last year when people kept writing off the Raptors.
I just thought it would be different,
And I told everyone that they had changed their defense, and that was the... How many times did I come out here? And I had the list of holding opponents under 40% versus last year and the year before and the year before.
Plenty. Plenty.
And it worked out.
Plenty.
Right?
Yep.
Those guys don't know that. They watch one game every six or seven. That's why you got to come here.
Yeah, I mean,
when you want your news,
go ahead, cut a promo.
Right.
Yeah.
It's on Sportsnet. On Sportsnet.
Raptors?
If you want your Raptors news,
Raptors,
you get it on Sportsnet.
Raptors?
Have you heard that Tang Live before somewhere?
Tim and Sid, Sportsnet. Raptors on Sportsnet. Rebounding on Sportsnet. Right. Raptors injured, who's starting tonight? On Sportsnet.
So is the goal number 2? Did you hear Pascal Siakam talking to the ESPN crew?
What are you talking about?
Before the game, Pascal Siakam on ESPN was having a conversation. He had the little IFB in his ear, like one of these little wingies that you put in your ear so you can hear.
They had him mic'd up in the warm-up?
In the warm-up.
I didn't see this.
And he was talking about that 2-seed and what this team was. And you're right, ESPN, people need to listen more often.
I think our ceiling, you know, we have no ceiling. That's how I feel. And I think, you know, we're one of the best teams in the league, period. And we just got to continue to work hard, continue to do what we've been doing, continue to learn. And like you said, that number 2 spot is there for the taking. And I think, you know, it doesn't matter where we really land, we can do anything against any team in the league. So we're pretty confident in that, and we just got to continue to do what we do.
So like I've been saying, the 2 spot, he's like, I don't care. We can take care of anybody.
Well, the way they're playing right now. Again, Tim, if Marc Gasol's going 7 of 7.
Well, but he's not. That's not.
No, but like Kyle and those guys, they were saying after the game last night, they're
it's not sustainable.
They're begging. I'm not saying he's going perfect every night, but they're begging Marc to shoot more.
No, I know.
Like that can, if Marc and Serge are feeling good from outside on top of the other stuff that Marc Gasol does, look the hell out, man.
Better 3-point shooter, Marc Gasol or Zion Williamson?
That's a good question.
And is Ben Simmons still in the city and listening?
Knock, knock. Who's there? Ben Simmons not shooting threes. That's who's there. Most embarrassed. You're an NBAer. That's embarrassing. And you're not a center. Shoot a three. Attempt a three.
Do you want to talk?
Man.
Do you
unbelievable. Ben Simmons is a joke. Ben Simmons is the biggest joke in the NBA because Joel Embiid leaves for a week. No one else is taking shots. So Johnny Simmons is out there winning Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That's our congratulations, Ben. Get another 2 feet from the basket.
Averaging a triple-double.
Averaging a triple-double. Congratulations. What a big award for a man who cannot shoot a three, making that kind of money. Oh, captain, my captain, Ben Simmons. Enjoy your second round loss to the Raptors. Joke.
Do you think he should work harder? Is that what you're talking about?
I think he should work.
Okay, yeah.
Period.
Period.
It's an absolute joke. If you were his teammate, if I were, if you and I were on a basketball team and I had that level of natural ability and shot threes like that and worked on my three like that, you would, if I worked with you every day and I didn't work harder than you, you'd be really upset.
Mm-hmm. What?
What?
Huh?
What?
Wait a second here.
On Sportsnet.
All right, let's talk about that other storyline.
Yeah, you mentioned Zion. You tried to segue and I ignored it, so let me not.
No, I get it. I get it. I laid it out there. I laid it out there, and as per usual, once I laid it out there, for those who are wondering if or not I, if I was taking a shot at Ben Simmons or not, you made it abundantly clear that we were taking a shot at Ben Simmons because other people work on their jump shot.
Yes. Just so we're clear, I don't respect Ben Simmons.
I think we knew that.
Switching gears to another major storyline from last night.
I don't think he respects you either.
He hasn't called me in weeks.
Right.
The highly anticipated debut a first overall pick, Zion Williamson, for the Pelicans. Now, after missing the first 44 games of the season, Zion started out slow last night. He looked winded. It didn't look great, taking on the Spurs. However, heading into the fourth quarter, Pelicans head coach Alvin Gentry was asked by ESPN's Tom Rinaldi to assess the first three quarters of Zion's pro career. We're going to play you the answer to that question first, and then just listen for the crowd in New Orleans and how they reacted to what they saw from the kid.
In the limited minutes you've seen Zion on the floor, how would you assess how he's done?
Oh, he's going to be fine. Right now he's just playing so conservative. He won't play that way. I'm not worried about him. We'll get him where he needs to be.
Zion stepping back, pulling the trigger, and hitting a three. Here's a lob to Zion, and he finishes over DeRozan. Here's Zion for three. Hit it again. They want Zion to get it. Here he is. And Pirtle blocked it. Zion gets it back and finishes. 10 points in just over a minute.
Step back three. Left three! Slash! No! This is not happening!
Welcome to the NBA, big brother.
Just so we're clear, MVP chance in his first ever NBA regular season game.
It is.
Zion Williamson scored 17 straight points in 3 minutes and 8 seconds. I repeat, he scored 17 straight points in a little over 3 minutes, giving the Pels the lead. They're not that great a team, so they lost the game.
Correct.
And Zion had to sit for the final 5 minutes plus due to minutes restrictions, obviously. Spurs win the game. Timmy, my question to you, should Alvin Gentry, head coach of the Pelicans, had said to hell with it and ignored doctors and left Zion
in
the game?
No. And if you don't like load management in the NBA, you're not going to like the Pelicans, and you're not going to like Zion Williamson, because this is not their year, and they are going to make sure that this young man is able to play basketball at a high level for a long time. And given the fact, did you know that he's at 285 pounds right now?
So I hear. I thought, watching him go out there at times last night, Tim, I thought the number would be higher than that. He looked big.
He's the third heaviest player in the NBA. He's 6'6". You know who's heavier than he is? I wrote it earlier and I've lost the sheet, but it's Boban Marjanovic. Sorry, go ahead.
Enes Kanter?
No.
Oh, he's fat.
Enes.
Enes Kanter?
Careful.
Yeah, he's been through enough. I'll back off Enes Kanter.
Yes, we might get back to the Richard Stabone conversation that we had.
He's been
earlier.
Through enough, Enes.
I think it's Enes. I might be wrong. Maybe it is Enes.
Either way, he's enjoying life with the Celtics.
Yusuf Nurkic is the other guy.
Oh, and, I'm working his way back with the
I've been around football a lot, and I've seen guys with this level of athleticism carrying a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it's more than 285, but you got to be very careful with it. And I don't think it's fat. I think this is one of the greatest physical specimens that we have ever seen. Like LeBron James, 6'8", 260, this 6'6", 285 is among the greater physical specimens I have ever seen in my life. Like Bo Jackson, LeBron James.
Wow.
Zion Williamson.
Wow.
He jumps out of the gym, and he's massive and has been massive since basically a sophomore in high school.
To put context on that last night, before I get to my main point, the 4 threes he hit for the Pelicans, you know how many times he did that at Duke in his 1 year there? Zero.
4 threes in 1 game?
Zero.
Never did.
Zero.
He had 24 threes in 33 games.
He's as athletic as Russell Westbrook. Like, would you acknowledge Russell Westbrook's one of the most athletic guys in the league?
Yes.
Westbrook's 200 pounds, okay?
Okay.
That guy, let's assume he's 285. He's already had issues with both knees before his pro career has ever started. Now, he also shot 71% in the preseason.
Right.
So every time he's out there, it's real and it's spectacular. My concern watching that last night is don't get used to it, because I think injuries are going to follow this kid like luggage. You cannot, with that size, already having knee issues, and some of them serious, tell me this kid is going to have 12 years of relative health playing the way he does. I'm not saying he's Greg Oden, but it concerns me, and that's why I really soaked that in last night, because I don't know how often we're going to see it. This is going to be a tragic career, in my opinion, strictly on the size of the kid and what he's able to do. His knees won't be able to handle it. And it's unfortunate. And the Pelicans should have taken him. I'm not saying they shouldn't have. But watching that last night, I couldn't help it. Because this load, and it all works into what you're saying, load management, to me, the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that's going to be a story. If you don't like it, too bad. But I just don't know how often we're going to see it. And it breaks my heart. Because he is that guy.
I am against predicting injuries, because I don't think they're predictable. But I've seen a lot of guys carry too much weight on a frame and be too athletic for that weight. So it'll be real interesting. Before we go, we got to get a break. Kenny Smith coming up. I do have the Fruit Loops explanation.
I have the Fruit Loops again, about all the Fruit Loops tasting the same.
Different colors.
Different colors, the same
flavor.
Is it true? Although the marketing side of Kellogg sold the idea that each individual loop color was different, Kellogg's has since acknowledged that all share the same fruit blend flavor.
No. This breaks my heart. We'll ask Kenny Smith if he knew that all Fruit Loops were the same flavor and how he eats his salsa. We also may ask that of Brian Burke. Room temperature, chilled.
Does anyone disagree with me on
this? These are the questions of the day.
Will Zion's knees hold up?
I'm Tim and Sid. Well, we'll get other stuff in there, too. Don't worry about it. Still to come, should you eat your salsa at room temperature or chilled somewhat? Also, Brady Tkachuk and Brian Burke as the NHL hits the All-Star break.
Speaking of All-Stars, TNT tonight will announce the five starters for both the Eastern and Western Conference for the Chicago All-Star Game next month. There is a Toronto Raptor in Pascal Siakam, who has been hovering around the forwards in the Eastern Conference. Kenny the Jet Smith will be a part of that broadcast throughout the evening on TNT in the States. Kenny, kind enough to join us from Atlanta. Kenny, now is the moment of truth in terms of where our relationship is professionally. I have a feeling you may or may not know whether Pascal Siakam has been voted in as an Eastern Conference starter. Do you respect us enough as people to tell us now whether Pascal Siakam is in or not?
I don't mind the Heisman here.
Let's start here. Okay. I do know if he's a starter or not. I do know that.
Okay,
and so here's my answer. Because I love you guys so much, I'm willing to go on risk and get in trouble.
What?
So the answer is...
Wait.
What did you do?
Did you get it?
What? No,
oh your my
camera
God.
Moved. Your camera.
Wait a second. The camera
you
moved.
Cut out. Kenny, you cut out.
And there was like a magazine inside Atlanta.
You're probably on that garbage Verizon plan.
Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
So let's try it again. I told you, man. I already said it. I can't say it twice now.
Dear.
This is highly disappointing.
But I do know.
Okay, how about this?
This is highly disappointing.
Is Pascal Siakam deserving of an All-Star?
Oh, yeah. He's deserving. He's definitely deserving. Regardless of what happens in the next couple hours, I would always have said he's deserving. He has put in the work. He has, elevated his team to heights that, people didn't think that could happen without Kawhi. And yes, he is, and he's evolved. You know what I mean? Like, his ability to be the go-to guy, he has evolved, tremendously. So, excited to just see. Regardless of what happens to me, I know he's going to be in Chicago. I'll leave it as that, too.
Is he so deserving, Kenny, that he actually made the All-Star team?
Well, I'll tell you again. This is my last time.
All right.
He has...
Damn it, Kenny, again, you cut
out. Who's your camera person?
Damn it.
Who is your camera person?
Damn it, these Atlanta hotels, man. Bad Wi-Fi?
I'll tell you, man. Again, so that's it, man.
That is the last time we will berate Kenny the Jet Smith for information on Pascal Siakam's All-Star nomination, potentially tonight live on TNT, but we appreciate him being humorous towards our efforts.
Right. Forget the fake talk. We bonded last week, I thought, at least over Mr. Magic Marley Marl. I used to let my tape pop, right?
Yes.
It was all a dream. We all read Word Up magazine, Salt and Pepper, and Heavy D up in a limousine.
No doubt.
I need some real talk with Kenny Smith, and it's a simple question.
Talk. Very simple.
Are the Raptors good enough to win the East?
Yes.
Woo.
Because the only thing that will separate them to me is Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the separator themselves. However, they have the perfect person to guard him, Pascal Siakam. You know, he could stay in front of him and make it difficult. He's not going to stop, but make it difficult. They created a wall, you know, of defense that worked at times against them before. So, yes. They could win the East and go back to the East and to the NBA Finals and shock the world. There is no reason. They are just as good as Philadelphia. They're better than Boston to me. And Indiana and Miami, I think they're better than as well. So, yes, they could actually go back to the NBA Finals and we'd be there again.
Let's do it. Tim McAuliffe next to me earlier in the show, Kenny, let us in on the fact that in terms of points per game average, in terms of point differential, right now this Bucks team is the best ever.
Ever.
Ever. Mm. Now, no team is that good, in my opinion. When you look at them this year compared to last year, do you see, throwing the record out, do you see a significantly better team, underline the word team?
Yes, I do see a better team.
Yeah.
I think Middleton was asked to do a lot last year. His role has decreased. You know, there's guys who's come in who really, both Lopez's have shot the ball extremely well, even when they have the fights before. George Hill has played well. McConaughey, all these guys has come in, Bledsoe. They have a real team now. And I think adding his brother, how crazy this, adding his brother, I think, put a relaxing environment around the locker room for some reason, which I could see that from afar. You know, I think all of those things, man, they're a better team. So, yes, you're going to have to work harder this year.
Hey, earlier in the season when talking to Kenny Smith, NBA analyst, NBA on TNT, joining us now here on Tim and Sid, earlier in the season when we talked about the Rockets, you said they had a legit chance to win it all. Have you wavered at all, given what has transpired over the last? I mean, they get a win against a banged up Denver team, but it was ugly there for a while. Are you wavering at all?
Yeah, no, I haven't changed. I think overall, you know, what I'm looking at is matchups. When the playoffs start, you know, the Rockets, you know, in the past, I thought were built for the regular season. I think now they're kind of built for the playoffs. Russell Westbrook and James Harden, you know, they're not going to show you everything every night. At least watch Russell at times. They're not going to always show you everything every night. But in the playoffs, there's no two players at their position is going to say, I have the advantage. None. In the whole league, there's no one. Like, say, oh, I'm going to have the advantage over Harden. And no one's going to say, oh, I got the advantage over Westbrook. So all of a sudden, you have two guys who, in a playoff situation with seven games and 10 games, you know, in 10 days, you know, you could get hot. And you could cause problems even for the Lakers, the Jazz, or anybody else that's ahead of them.
Okay, I want to get philosophical here because I remember Kenny Smith, the player, and I wrote something down just so that I wouldn't forget it. I kind of have a preconceived notion about Westbrook and Harden that they might be a little too selfish to be successful. And I know that you can evolve as a player. And I understand that you can evolve. You can learn based on results. So you, my friend, were a winner when you played. But you averaged 17 a game in 1991 with the Rockets. You guys won 52 games.
That's like 24 today.
Right. And you won 52, lost in the first round. Rudy T takes over. Your points go down. Your assists go down. But your efficiency, Kenny Smith, goes up. In fact, you led the league in effective field goal percentage, 92-93. You guys win two titles. Do you believe that there is a learning to win and a selflessness in team winning that Harden and Westbrook have to understand before they win?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're much better scorers, obviously, and players. But what I had to learn was, you know, in that year, those years that I was scoring a lot, we were heavy into the pick and roll, heavy. Mm-hmm. Then we decided to probably cut it to a third of that. So I was like, wow, I'm not in a pick and roll situation with, at that time, or the Stall or Chucky Brown or whatever it was. So yes, I had to say, what's the betterment for the team? Because I know the reason I have this job at TNT is because of everything that's been going on as winning championships. You know, you get a championship talk. But I think those two guys understand that. Yeah. They've been so close to the mountaintop that they're ready.
You mentioned heavy in the pick and roll just a couple seconds ago. I want to talk about Zion Williamson, who last night trended immediately. But, Kenny, you know, there are some worried people out there for the kid in terms of his weight and the type of basketball he plays and his agility and the stress on his knees that has already been exhibited in his career at both high school and college levels. Is there something to worry about here, or should we just enjoy the ride for the kid?
Well, it probably is something to worry about, but you're not going to get better by sitting out. He's going to get heavier. So playing is the best thing because he's going to be playing on a strenuous schedule. You're going to be on the floor, and you're going to be losing weight, and you're going to be getting in better shape. You can't get in better shape by not playing. The other thing is you don't play basketball to get in shape. You got to get in shape to play basketball. So at some time he has to do things to get ready to play. And right now he says he's ready to play. Now he could get the basketball shape that you need to be in, because the cardio and everything is different. So he has to play. I was excited to see him. He was incredible last night. Exciting, but it's only one game. I don't know if he could do it again. You know, but it's, you know, I'm not going to oversell it either. But it was magnificent to see.
Kenny, the Jet Smith from TNT, where the All-Star starters will be announced tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny, you don't have
He's
to say
He's already told
that.
Us. He's already told
I
us.
I can't wait to see you interview Pascal Siakam in Chicago, man.
Well, I'm going to tell you that right now that Pascal Siakam.
Oh, he hung up on us.
Oh, no, he did.
No. No. That is not cool, Kenny.
And I love
not cool.
Our production staff panicked and took it immediately off the screen because he hung up on us.
Actually, did this cool effect where he hung up.
Nice, yeah.
Sometimes we don't want that to happen.
He hung up on us,
but that's a cool effect there.
All right. So Kenny Smith is not going to tell us whether or not Pascal Siakam.
He's
going to
make it.
Bobby
Webster had this grin on his face.
But he's
going to
go there.
Raptors GM had this grin on his face when we brought it up yesterday. Let's just kind of go with it without official confirmation.
Here's the deal. It's media day in St. Louis for the NHL All-Star Game. We've been told Brady Tkachuk is joining us.
Nice.
We're just not sure when. Either way, Brian Burke is joining us. We are going to talk about the NHL All-Star Game, the skills competition, and whether or not Berkey likes it. Next in Tim and Sid. Welcome back to Tim and Sid on Sportsnet Radio and Television. NHL All-Star Weekend officially underway in St. Louis. And Sportsnet is your home for all of the festivities. The skills competition goes tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern after the players are put through the paces of Media Day tonight. How does that make sense? Media Day tonight?
It all works out to me. Media Day is like an all-day thing, an all-night thing. Let's be honest. That's what it's about.
All right.
Brian Burke, Sportsnet hockey analyst, is joining us. Our all-star Brian Burke joins us in studio, brought to you by Boston Pizza. Join us every Saturday, smooth as sandpaper, every Saturday for Hockey Night in Canada at Boston Pizza.
Boston Pizza.
Berkey, I'm stunned you're here.
Why is that?
Why would we not ask Brian Burke, one of the most popular / polarizing hockey analysts in North America? When you speak, sir, people listen. When you open your mouth, your years of experience working for the league.
It's getting deep in there.
Working as an executive. Nearly winning a Stanley Cup.
Nearly.
Then winning a Stanley Cup. I didn't finish.
Oh. Yeah.
And then running the Leafs, being part of the Flames.
That nearly was
no, quick. I nearly got a right cross is what I nearly got.
Ew.
With your fountain of opinion, why on earth are you not down in St. Louis messing around during All-Star Weekend?
No idea, but they didn't ask me to go. I think they've got all the right people there they need. So
sounds like a guy who didn't want to go.
Well, I'm not a huge All-Star Game fan, but it's... I'm Irish. You go where they ask you to go. Like, if they'd asked me to go, I would have gone. If they didn't ask me, then fine. So I started last year when they told me they want me to go. I started a charity event, and we are doing a hot stove at the Bottom Line. Starts at 5 o'clock.
Oh, downtown Toronto, nice.
Yeah, right next to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Yeah. And Paul Coffey and Eric Lindros and Jeff Merrick's going to moderate, and we're going to talk hockey for an hour and then take some questions from the fans.
Paul Coffey's one of my favorite players of all time.
He is unbelievable.
And what I loved was when he left Edmonton, just as awesome.
I thought if I didn't wear socks and had my skates two sizes too small, I might be able to skate like Paul Coffey. It did not work.
No,
it did not work.
And he was, you know, I was talking about this on Edmonton radio today. I had Scott Niedermeyer, who was one of the best skating defensemen that ever lived.
Right.
He played for me, which was a great gift, and I still think Paul was better, and Scotty was amazing.
I'm not expecting you to know this because you don't seem like a website guy, but if someone wanted to go to this event, and I want to pump it because you're a friend of ours,
do
you have a website?
Yes, Primetime Sports and Entertainment.
There you go.
It's the same company that I own that puts on our big sports conference every year, also helps out with the charity event. So it'll be fun.
Sweet. Again, Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern, if you're in the Toronto area.
Yep.
So Google it up, Primetime Sports and Entertainment, I believe.
And it will sell out. So if people want to go, should go on the website and buy tickets now because it will be sold out.
Primetimesport.ca.
Yeah.
Got you covered.
My goal in life is to one day throw an event and be able to say on a mic with confidence, it will sell out.
Right.
Because I don't know if I'll ever get to that point, but that's a cool thing to say.
Right.
Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators, and by the way, NHL All-Star, joining Matthew Tkachuk there, joining Keith Tkachuk. I don't know how many family and friends are going to be there in St. Louis over the weekend. We'll
Their
ask
hometown,
him. He's going to join us here momentarily, Brady Tkachuk of the Sens. So if he just kind of pops up and we start talking, don't be alarmed. That's kind of the plan. It's a fluid situation now in St. Louis. There's a lot of media availabilities happening. So Brady Tkachuk should
told
be joining
media
us.
Media day night.
Media day night, is that what it is?
Media day night, yeah.
He's a great kid.
I've never
spoken
to him.
People are going to watch this. They're going to like this kid immediately.
Okay, fantastic.
How often have you run across him?
I interviewed him his draft year. I watched him play his draft year. Sat with him at the... they were playing in the Beanpot, and we were in Boston. And I sat with him in the crowd with his grandpa, with Keith's dad. And, you know, like, I remember I was working for the Canucks Keith's draft year.
Right.
And a bunch of us missed Keith that year. He broke his leg. He played for, I want to say, Malden Catholic, north of Boston.
Okay.
But he broke his leg, and he only played, I want to say, 11 games. And some analytics idiot's going to send in and say, I got the number wrong, and it's the wrong school. But it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago, yeah.
So he went like 11th or 12th. He dropped down. He should have been a top three pick, top four pick. But a lot of teams just didn't get to see him. We didn't see enough of a body of work to rate him as high as he went. But what a career he had. And the kids are, you know, I had Matthew in Calgary, and I got to know Brady a little bit. The mom and dad are great. The kids are great. And there's a third one coming.
The older one, Keith, would seem to be of the Brian Burke mold. Like a type of hockey player you would appreciate. There was some truculence to the game.
I tried to trade for Keith Tkachuk when I was in Anaheim, and the owner vetoed the trade. And on the basis of money, we were over budget, and it would have cost us another $1 million. And Henry Samuel said, look, I'm never going to overrule you on a hockey matter, but unless you can find that money somewhere, because we weren't making money. That team didn't make money back then. Yeah. He said, I think I have the right to veto on money. And we were all the hockey guys are like, well, absolutely you do. I mean, it's the owner's money.
Right.
So I think we might have won a second cup if we'd have been able to make that trade.
He was drafted 19th overall, which is amazing, behind guys. And I don't want to crush guys, but there are some names ahead of him that didn't last as long or come up with the points that he came up with. And that was the Owen Nolan, Peter Nedved.
What high school?
Malden Catholic High School.
There you go.
Malden Catholic High School in Mass.
The Senators are in an interesting spot here with names like Shabbat and Brady Tkachuk.
As of right now, they would have the fourth overall pick in this draft coming up in Montreal. Obviously, the lottery would change things. Fourth overall pick, they get the Sharks. Sharks are sitting at sixth. Mm-hmm. I kind of pitched it to you earlier today, knowing we're going to talk to Brady Tkachuk of the Sens. Would a team who wins the lottery this year entertain two top 10 draft picks for the first overall pick and something on top of that? Is that an enticing enough thing to get Lafreniere off your hands, do you think?
I know one thing. If I had the first pick in this draft, I wouldn't trade it. Not for a 4 and a 6, not for a 3 and a 4. I don't think there's enough quality in those later picks, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. There's good players, don't get me wrong. But this kid can't miss.
And
he's the whole thing. He's big, he can play ugly, he's highly skilled. No, I wouldn't entertain that.
If you had to nitpick, what would you go with Lafreniere? Like, what's the negative? Can you see it?
That he doesn't have a twin brother.
and if he did, you would trade for him.
That is a negative.
Yeah, that's when you.
Then I would try to move up if there were two of them. That would be worth it. But I think this kid, he's just a lock from everything I've seen watching him.
The Ottawa Senators are an interesting story because I don't think a lot of people expected a lot from them. They came out of the gate pretty strong, but. As a guy who was a GM, what are you looking for in a year like this from a team like this? Because it's obvious they're on the rebuild, and the way I watched them, I'm kind of impressed. They work hard. They don't get smoked a lot of games. They're not quitting on anybody.
No.
They're playing tough.
They have their coach's personality. They have DJ Smith's personality. He was a hard-nosed player, hard worker, accomplished more than his skill set should have accomplished. He wasn't that good, but he made himself into a player and had a good pro career. He was tough. They play just like their coach played, and they have their coach's personality. They don't quit. They don't get blown out a lot, and they've got some good stories to tell. They've got Tkachuk to tell. They've got Shabbat to tell. They've got kids coming. Pierre Dorion's done a good job in a trying market, you know, with an unpopular owner. But there is the bright, and like you say, they got their pick in San Jose's. Now we're all baffled by San Jose that they haven't played better, and I would expect that pick to go down, you know, to a lower number. Yeah,
they'll get some more points here.
Yeah, I think so. But who knows?
Brady Tkachuk is still a couple of minutes away, so we might as well move the conversation on. And Sid and I were talking about what the Jets did yesterday and how they've struggled into their bye week and now the All-Star break, or just the All-Star break. A few weeks ago, you were in here, and we were talking about Paul Maurice being the coach of the year in the National Hockey League. Last night, I'm leafing through the hashtag on Twitter, Mo Must Go. For a guy that's been around for years, what do you think when you hear stuff like shift from coach of the year to he could get fired?
Well, and I would amend my vote for Coach of the Year. I would say I would probably split it now with John Tortorella. These two teams last night that played are mirror image teams of each other. They both had massive off-season defections. They both had hundreds of man games lost to injury, and they've both remained competitive. So I think Paul Maurice is a hell of a coach and done a great job. I think Torts is probably doing as good a coaching job as he did when he won the Cup in Tampa. So I think The Mo Must Go. I mean, have another drink, whoever tweeted it.
Well, there's a few people doing it.
There's a lot of drinks going around. Someone's buying.
Might not be fair, but he could go.
I don't think so. I think, first off, if you want to know the truth, I've heard the rumors that they're looking at extending him.
Right.
So I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he can take the players out of their lineup that they took out of their lineup and then have Big Buff walk away. Bufflin's a really important player, and he walks away. You trade Trouba. They got Pionk Bank, and he's played well. Yep. You lose Sherratt. You lose Tyler Myers. And all of a sudden, four of your top six defensemen are gone. And again, they replaced him with Neil Pionk, who I really like. But that's massive defections.
And Brandon Tanna was a guy. I mean, he's not your leading scorer, but he brought some things that you definitely
need. So to me, you fire a coach when the team is not playing up to its personnel. But in this case, I think they are. I think they're tired. I think their star players have fallen off. They're tired. They looked tired in the third period last night. Mind you, they played in a back-to-back. But I think that's absurd. Now, mind you, these same internet idiots were calling for John Cooper's scalp a month ago.
Right.
And they've only gone like 15-5 in the last 20 games. So nobody's calling for Coop's scalp anymore.
Yeah, we're talking about the NFL. The San Francisco 49ers won 10 games in their coach and GM's first 2 years. Now they're in the Super Bowl. Sometimes you just got to... So the one thing, you brought up Buffalo, and I just have to ask this question because I don't know. I've never been in a room before. You've been in and around the dressing room a ton. Is there a point where obviously he could help them immensely if he came back healthy? Is there a point where the rest of the room goes, man, like he's really doing us bad here? Like, we need him back. We need him in the fold. We need him to be a part of this team. Like, is there a point of no return on this?
I think for the average player there is. I don't think there is for Buff because the players know him. He's a free spirit. He's a different guy. If you said to me in August, someone on this team's going to go AWOL right before a training camp, who do you think it'll be? I would have said Buff. I had him in the World Cup. He is a joy as a teammate. He works hard. He's respectful. He's polite to the trainers and everybody. He's a really popular teammate. Right. And it's a huge loss. It would be a huge loss to any team. But when you lose those other two right shot defensemen, then him too, you lose Myers and you lose Trouba, then you lose him. I don't know if there's a team in the league that wouldn't reel from that loss. Because, I mean, when he's in shape, he's 250 pounds when he's skinny. This guy, he has a part-time job as a wall. He's a big man. So this, and he's a great guy, and he can hammer the puck. He can be the shooter on your power play. He's got great feet for a big man. And but he's a different cat. You know, if you would ask me one guy's going to walk, I'd say it's him.
Right.
He's a big outdoorsman. He's really enjoying his time off. We hear he's skating again at least. So maybe, but I'd say any other player, at some point you'd say, go home, stay
right.
home. But I don't think so, not with Big Buff.
But my concern with that room, though, is it, are we past the point of no return in terms of Buff in that dressing room?
If I'm in that
dressing room going through this stretch that they're going through right now.
That's what he's saying, though. That's
I don't think so.
I mean, it's just tough. It's really tough to come back.
He's not holding out over money. If anything, he's walking away from a lot of money right now, subject to the grievance.
Right.
So if I'm next to him and he's holding out, that's when I probably get mad and say, hey, we're losing games.
Yeah.
You're holding out for money, and we're all losing games, but he's not. He's actually costing him money, and he's doing some soul-searching, and he's entitled to that. So I have no problem with it. I wish he'd come back and play because I think our league is better when Dustin Byfuglien is playing in it.
Agreed. Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators, I am being told, is going to join us here in just a few seconds live from St. Louis, not just his hometown, but site of All-Star Weekend this weekend, skills competition tomorrow night, the games plural go Saturday, and it's a big media availability day tonight in St. Louis. That's why Brady's going to be kind enough to join us here.
So they're figuring out the levels and making sure that he can hear us. I'm going to ask you one more question, kind of a general one here. Going into the trade deadline, which Canadian team do you think needs to do the most?
Well, I think it's going to depend on where they are. It's too far away. Even though it's close now, it's a month away, it's still quite a ways away. What, 20, 32 days?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, to me, there's so many teams, like Winnipeg's just outside the playoffs right now.
Right.
Montreal, right on the edge. Other than Ottawa, I mean, Vancouver's in first place. Calgary and Edmonton are right there. So, I think everyone has to wait till they get closer. And a lot of those teams are capped out. A lot of these teams aren't going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
I think the only team that's in contention in Canada that has a lot of cap room, Montreal's got a little bit, and Calgary's got some after they did the Frolik deal.
Right. I was trying to get to the Leafs, but I didn't get there.
Well, we can mention that again yesterday.
They're capped out.
I know.
Auston Matthews, the news yesterday, his wrist is bothering him. He is part of All-Star Weekend in a physical sense, but he is not going to play in the game, thus opening the door for our next guest to become officially a National Hockey League All-Star from the Ottawa Senators. Brady Tkachuk has been kind enough to join us live from St. Louis. Brady, it's Sid Sixero, Tim McAuliffe, and Brian Burke. We are live coast-to-coast here on Tim and Sid. Congratulations on being part of All-Star Weekend. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I forgive me, because I know you've told the story a couple times, and for those who haven't, walk us through where you were when you heard you had to go to St. Louis, not just to watch Matthew, but to take part in this yourself. How did you get the call?
Well, to be honest with you, I wasn't on my phone. I was in Bahamas with a couple of friends, and to be honest with you, I was at Senior Frog, so I was having fun, and I got the call, and it was just pure excitement. It was just surreal to be here now.
You take the Senior Frog shot glass, you leave, and then you head to St. Louis. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. No comment.
Yeah. You, Brady, you didn't get much of a tan down there, buddy.
I know. I was in the shade most of the time. I was scared of the sun.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
How many tickets you guys need between you?
To be honest with you, I'm in the dark still. She got here. It's kind of been of a whirlwind of a day. So I think over dinner I'll find out. But the plan was for Matthew to pay for the suite, but now he claims I got to split it with him. So we'll see how that outcome comes.
So you'll be playing for that $1 million prize real hard. What's it going to be able to? Like?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know it's pretty loud in there too. So we'll try and speak up for you. But sharing this obviously with your brother and your dad in St. Louis has got to be special.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, just to be here now, it's been a crazy 24 hours, and just kind of to be fitting with, you know, being in St. Louis and family being around, it's just going to be such a surreal experience, and I can't wait to spend this time with family and friends, and I'm just super happy to be here.
I would stay away from your dad if I were in St. Louis, because the buttons might pop off his shirt and blind me. He's so proud of you too, and the little guy's coming too.
Oh yeah, it's been he's super proud. I think my mom's even prouder, so it's I'm very happy, and they've done so much for Matthew and I, so all the credit goes to them.
Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators joining us here on Tim and Sid as Brady gets ready for All-Star Weekend in St. Louis, and we cycle through the photos here on the TV side as we speak to Brady of he and Matthew down through the years at All-Star Games attended by his dad. Are you basically an All-Star vet because of all your experience? You probably have more experience than anyone there.
To be honest with you, I think all my experience was all the wrestling matches and what everything was going on. So, we had fun as kids, and it was just super cool to see some of the guys that we looked up to, like Patrick Kane, Crosby, Ovechkin, and being in the same league. It's just been awesome, and there's definitely been some fun times with when we were younger.
You got to save that picture. There's a picture in there where Chris Pronger actually looks like he's being nice to somebody. Got to archive that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was hung up in our old house, so all those pictures were.
That's awesome. Brady, just because I've never been to an All-Star game myself, shockingly, have you been approached about the skills competitions tomorrow night? Will you be taking part? Is there one you would like to take part in? Where are you at in terms of that?
Honestly, haven't really thought about it. It's I don't know if it's came out about what you guys are doing what. So, but I don't really know exactly what I'm doing. I'm just trying to take it all in every minute and every second. And it's I've gotten to know some of the guys, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
Okay, it's Berkey again, Brady. I can tell you one thing. I'll tell you two things. Since you're a rookie at this game, you're going to do what they tell you to do. The other guys are going to pick. And second, I am betting every cent I have that neither of you two Tkachuks are going to be in the fastest skater contest.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely not. Those two, that event, it's not our game.
No. They got to put some physical stuff in here for you two.
A hitting competition?
Yeah, mouth guard chewing or something like that.
Well, will you and Matthew take any prisoners? Let's get down to the real story here. How seriously will you take Saturday night?
Honestly, I think we're both so happy to be here. We're just going to take it all in, and you never know. You could be playing one another for the finals, so we'll just see how it all goes.
I know you go toe-to-toe with your now teammates in the Atlantic, but is there anyone that you're kind of looking forward to playing with or being on the ice with this weekend?
Well, I mean, there's just so many unreal players, so I think all of them. I think everybody's, I mean, they're here for a reason, so just to kind of be here with them, it's just surreal, and it's just looking forward to getting to know more and more guys, and they might be kind of enemies every other night, but I think this weekend are teammates, so it should be a lot of fun.
Brady, when you see, and I don't want to dive too into it because we've talked about it a lot, but the Zach Cassie and Matthew Tkachuk story, considering how well you know Matthew, when you see that all develop and everything that's said, do you just laugh hysterically because you know Matthew so well and you're like, I've seen this before?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried staying out of it as much as I can. I mean, it was such a big game for both teams, and I mean, I just think it's hilarious. I mean, like you said, just knowing Matthew and kind of knowing the inside scoop, it's kind of just hilarious how it all kind of planned out. And, yeah, I know there's a couple of big games before that game for, you know, each team, so it should be, I guess, a big game coming up for them.
As the youngest of four boys, I know one thing, and it's how to take a punch. So
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there have been a few of those in the McAuliffe household as well.
Brady, before we let you go, you've been great. And, again, apologies for the noise going on here during the conversation, but you've been fantastic. The year so far in Ottawa, your experience with the Sens, the fear sometimes with a young player like yourself is the losing could potentially affect you in a slightly negative way. Describe your time in Ottawa. How have you taken it? And how much have you learned so far throughout this process?
Yeah, I think I've learned, you know, so much. I think, you know, everybody that's been around, I've learned, you know, something new from them. And honestly, we have a great group. We've got great coaching staff, great, you know, trainers, equipment guys, a lot of great people within the organization. So they make it fun to come to the rink every single day. And, nobody likes to win. But I think with our team, you can already see how much better we've gotten throughout this whole year. And we're only going to get better. So I say this year has been a lot of fun, and we got a great group.
It seems like a dream weekend. Your first All-Star game in your hometown with your entire family there and your brother playing as well. Enjoy the weekend, and thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much.
Have fun, Brady.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators.
That smile is not an All-Star smile.
Right.
That kid smiles all the time.
Right.
He is such an upbeat kid, and that's such an asset for a team. To have a guy that's upbeat like that, Tamu Solani was like that for me. He never had a bad day. It was a real asset in the dressing room, especially where we had Chris Pronger, like the world's biggest grump. And Tamu comes in every day, and it's a sunny day. He's awesome. This kid is like that.
All right, you brought up the skills competition, and you said perhaps maybe not the fastest skater would be his forte.
Which he agreed with.
I'm going to be straight here. Sid and I were talking about it before you joined us. You don't strike me as a skills competition type of guy.
No, but it's like the All-Star game. I think the All-Star game sucks. I think the athletic contest sucks. But I watch it because these are the best players in the world in a non-contact game. And they do things that are magical, that are amazing. So it's an important event for the league, for the broadcast partners, sponsors. Kids love it. It's a great event. Is it my favorite thing to do? No. But I do the skills competition. I'm going to watch every minute of that.
Okay, let me go through every event here, Berkey, and just give me a yay or nay on whether or not this is your cup of tea. Cool? Let's go down here. Fastest skater.
Yeah, that's a great event to watch.
There you go.
That's a yay from Berkey. That's good.
I can handle those, all right?
Okay, good, because I was getting confused.
Yeah, no, I know.
The Bud Light save streak. Yay or nay?
Nah.
Okay, that's a no.
Okay.
The Elite Women's 3-on-3, presented by Adidas Canada versus the USA. I'm in on this.
Absolutely amazing.
That's going to be fantastic.
I got to make a disclaimer here. My son works on the skills competition, so I got to be nice a little bit.
Here we go.
We've entered some interesting waters, Mikhail.
You're not too hard now. So the Enterprise NHL Hardest Shot.
Yeah, that's cool. Shea Weber's back, too.
Yes, he is.
He never left. The Shooting Stars, where they're going to take some players, put them behind one of the nets, I'm not making this up, 30 feet above the ice surface, and it's like Top Golf. You're going to have to hit targets down on the ice surface. Are you fine with trying this idea?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because fans are going to eat that up.
Unless they get hit.
You know, a couple over the years, guys have done commercials of this, right, where guys are shooting from the Sid Crosby, shooting from the upper concourse and scoring. So I think fans will eat it up, so I like it. I might go get a beer while that's on.
And the only one that we haven't mentioned is the Honda NHL Accuracy Shooting Challenge.
That's cool.
See? So you got, like, you got four out of the six.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Accuracy Challenge, we have this sponsorship with Budweiser where we lay it on the line and go toe-to-toe with something, whether it be a topic or a challenge. If Sid and I, we have a net behind us, did an old-school Accuracy Challenge, just four targets, a couple of ball hockey balls and or pucks, depending on their balls. I see them now. Who do you think wins this challenge?
Okay.
I've only seen
Take your time
Sid,
in answering the question.
I've only seen Sid do one athletic thing, which was he ran in some ridiculous costume on the show. And I thought he was going to have a heart attack. So I'll bet on you on this one.
You answered the question before he was done asking.
6-0.
I've never been humbled like this
remind
before.
Remind me, that happened to me on a trade call once. I asked for a player, and before I even finished his name, the other GM said, done.
But that must make you worry, right?
Yeah.
Here's 6-0 running his 40.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that doesn't inspire confidence.
It inspires a few things.
It inspires weight loss, hopefully. Although it didn't. Okay, so Timmy, you want to have this laid nausea. On?
Oh, would you do
it? Want to do a little Budweiser laying on the line here?
Would you really do it?
If Berkey can give us his honest play-by-play for our loyal radio audience.
But now we're really laying it on the line.
Hey, like I haven't done that before on this show.
Well, you did, literally.
All right.
All right,
Berkey already destroyed my hopes and dreams with one sentence. Shoot left. Give me a lefty stick. We have a lay it on the line music bed, guys. We could use it right about now. Tim and I, accuracy shooting, Brian Burke critiquing as we go. Tim will go first.
I'm going first. No, you go first. You go first.
Why do I have to go first?
Pick the pucks out of the net.
It looks like Johnny Gaudreau's stick.
It is an intermediate. All right, wait.
You got to identify the target you're shooting at.
Do you really?
Yes.
Say like, sorry, Berkey?
You have to identify which target you're shooting at.
Give me a break.
Don't just close your eyes and hammer it.
All right. You know what? Fine. We're playing. We're shooting some pool
here. Sorry, get out of your way.
Color of money. No problem. All right. Here we go.
Calling your shots?
All right. I'm calling something.
So this is an old school net with the targets in the four corners.
Okay, I'll call my shot. All right. Target.
0-for-1.
Oops.
Oh, he hit a... 0-for-3. Yep.
Or Sergio almost. Montana. Okay.
0-for-4.
How we doing, Berkey?
You're doing right. About like I expected you'd do.
All right. Anytime, Burke, you want to... Okay? No. I want to get one. I'm going to be here till 8 o'clock tonight getting one.
For those listening, 6-0 has peppered.
I still
miss. He's peppered a Joe Montana poster behind the net.
There's glass on it, too.
One. Hey, you got one.
All right, I'm walking away from
he
this.
He got one. How many shots?
As usual, Brian Burke is right.
So you want to fish out some balls?
Yeah,
here,
I'll
6-0?
Get the
I've
balls.
Never said that,
as, might as well.
Never said that to you before.
I feel like I don't have them anymore. All right, so I'm...
So hold on. I got one
target on 10 shots.
So all I got to do is get one.
The bar is low here, yep. McAuliffe. Late on the line. I have to put something on the line first.
We should have bet on this. Oh, my God. And you're tired. Listen to his breath.
Brian Burke, are you happy you came in for this?
Yeah, it's really entertaining. Right. Sure, the ratings right, are McAuliffe going right now. Up.
Trying to hit targets. Oh, 1-for-1. Look at Timmy.
Oh.
1-for-2.
Oh.
1-for-3. Whatever, he's already better than me. Oh, he's got 2. Oh, he's got 3.
Not bad. It's not bad. Right.
That's pretty good.
3 out of what?
That's that Senator O'Connor ratio out there.
Oh.
Tim McAuliffe is one target away. What? It's over. You won. You laid it on the line and you won.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim McAuliffe.
That was the easiest win ever. 6-0.
But my form, Berkey. Do I have some form that I can work with going forward?
This is a good weekend for garbage TV.
And even worse radio.
Well, you're in the right studio for that.
What way do you shoot, Berkey?
Right, I'm not shooting.
Nope. Are you kidding? He'd go 4-for-5. He's playing this slow, nice and quiet.
I got enough people chirping at me on the internet. I'm not giving him any ammo that I don't have to.
Fair enough. Thanks, Berkey. Appreciate it.
Thanks for stopping by.
There's Brian Burke. Also, thanks to Brady Tkachuk of the Senators.
Have you got your breath back yet, Sarah?
How am I winded by that? I need to do a push-up, man.
I can tell you. Thanks, Berkey.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid, coast to coast to coast on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Brian Burke on Twitter blowing up as we speak. Parth writes in and says, Brian Burke is a pure savage. It's the weekend of garbage TV at Tim and Sid.
There was some, he was dropping some bombs like subtly or not so subtly that I will take the weekend to recover from, if I'm being honest.
Terry writes in and says, quote of the week. This doesn't inspire confidence as Brian Burke watched the 40 of Sid 6-0 run in front of him on a television monitor.
I bet you if Berkey picked up a stick, he'd go 4-for-5.
And Tyler says, is Sid actually right-handed?
You know what?
I'm
starting to wonder that myself, because Tim's also seen me golf.
Right.
And maybe I've just been approaching this thing horribly the entire time. It that was a lot of fun, Timmy. Really appreciate you doing that.
I should have dropped this. I wanted to go 4-for-4 so bad, but I should have just dropped the stick after the one.
Well, when you hit the first one, I'm like, this is McAuliffe's going to have a hit a basketball shot without looking moment.
Right.
And here we go again. That was a lot of fun, though. Really appreciate Brian Burke coming by. Really appreciate Brady Tkachuk.
Burkey has a knack of insulting people in a discreet but underhanded way. I think he just called your show garbage TV. Yeah, he did. It wasn't underhanded.
That's exactly.
No, he just said it.
That's that's exactly what he did.
Sorry, go ahead. I saw another one. There's more rolling in right now.
Well, I think we should acknowledge in this moment that if that's not the best promo for the skills comp tomorrow, I don't know what is. Skills competition on Sportsnet and CBC. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't you dare miss it. We have a Super Bowl here on the horizon, Timmy.
Not yes, we
do. Weekend, but in a little over a week at the Hard Rock Stadium down in Miami. It is Super Bowl 54. It is San Francisco. It is the Kansas City Chiefs. Preparations for Super Bowl 54 underway. Both the Chiefs and Niners hit the field today. Jimmy Garoppolo continues to be a topic of conversation. Threw for just 77 yards in the Niners' NFC title game win over the Packers. But despite the numbers, Garoppolo enters the Super Bowl with two rings of his own, of course, as Tom Brady's backup in New England. A learning experience that remains with him to this very day.
I think just how calm he was, how, you know, and everyone says that you got treated like another game, but just the way that he actually did it, I mean, I was right, you know, up close and personal, just getting all the, picking up everything I could, seeing how he went about his business and everything, and obviously it worked out the two times that I was there with him, and so try to transfer that over to my game.
He can't, can he? Like, what does that mean? That you've been, maybe you've been through the preparations before? Because that can smack you in the face.
Yeah. Having gone through the week is worth its weight in gold to some people.
Right.
Absolutely. Whether you're a trainer, whether you're a backup, whether you're the media guy, the PR guy, it's all valuable. You do, there is a way to approach that week. And a lot of guys have been bit because they didn't kind of plan it out the right way.
Right.
I think that's a valid thing.
So maybe the planning, it can help, but the actual execution of the game plan and you actually walking out on the field, being introduced as a member of the starting lineup is remarkably different than Tom Brady going out there and facing the defense in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he hasn't been about that life.
I was trying to remember what teams they played when Jimmy G was there, and I failed miserably. I apologize.
Tim, I'm with you. Like, this is going to be a completely different experience. I think he's going to have to throw more than eight times in this
Atlanta
game.
Atlanta would
up.
Have been one of them.
We know Atlanta. Right. Yes. You know, there's going to be. Here's the thing: if KC can stop the run a little bit, if Raheem Mostert doesn't look like that guy, mm-hmm. it's going to fall on one dude's shoulders. And Jimmy Garoppolo, the hype around him has been immense from the word go. As Tom Brady's backup, as a threat to Brady's crown, as the guy who's dealt, as the dude who's given well over $100 million without winning more than five games in the NFL by the Niners.
Right.
The hype around Garoppolo has been unlike most things we've seen for a quarterback that hadn't really done anything yet.
But this could be his eat it moment, right?
It could absolutely be his eat it moment.
Right.
I mean, he's like, now I think the.
And I mean, everyone, like, either he falls flat.
Yes.
Or he plays really well. This is the part that bugs me. And he makes everyone eat it. But this is the part that bugs me. He's wearing throwing eight passes in the NFC Championship game. Why would he wear that?
Because people don't know football.
They ran the ball. Yeah. He didn't need to throw the ball.
No team that runs the ball like that should have to throw it at any time.
Ryan Tannehill
at all.
Won two games and lost one. The one he lost, he threw for over 200 yards. The two he won, he threw for less than 100 yards. Right. Ask any quarterback at any level which one they would rather have. You play to win the game. And the fact that they only threw it eight times isn't because Jimmy G sucks. It's because they were running the ball so well.
Yeah, I haven't understood since Sunday's game why that criticism is rampant at all. It's confusing to me, but that's neither here nor there, Timmy. Let's move on, because I think people that know football know the deal with that football game.
Right.
And know why the number was so shockingly low.
Right.
On the pass attempts for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
So, but he's going to have to, I don't think they're going to run the ball like that next weekend. I think most of us agree with.
I'm
you ain't doing that next weekend.
I'm not convinced.
because they ran it against they ran it against the Vikings really well too. And the Vikings defense, I think, is better than the one they're about to face.
I just keep going back to Derrick Henry not doing against Kansas City.
I know, that was
what
game
he had done.
But that was game plan and situation, I thought. We're gonna see.
We are. We're definitely gonna
So winning a Super Bowl means something for both Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo. The idea that winning two gets you into the Hall of Fame is something being debated when it surrounds Eli Manning. And yesterday on the show, if you weren't with us, we broke the news. Dan Graziano told us on Twitter, and we had a quick conversation about Eli Manning stepping away and that the news conference would be tomorrow in New York. And immediately you said Hall of Famer. And this has become the hottest topic surrounding Eli Manning's retirement. Not that he's walking away and handing the keys to Danny Dimes. It's that, is he a Hall of Famer? After 24 hours to let it marinate, read a few things, look at the stats, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you sure?
I guarantee you that man's going in the Hall of Fame. The support the Mannings have in Canton, the support they have in those selection committees, it's not a discussion.
Okay,
now, you want to have a discussion, should he be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I do want to change it because my conclusion, too, was his name will get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. I still believe what this guy accomplished is good enough to get in. Because if you were to ask me whose career I'd want, Dan Marino's or Eli Manning's, it's not close. I'll take the rings over the analytics any day of the week. It's not a discussion. I'd rather be Eli Manning than Drew Brees. I'd rather be Eli Manning than Aaron Rodgers. Want to go over their records in NFC title games?
You'd rather be Eli Manning than Aaron Rodgers?
Absolutely.
Are we taking into account what they're doing off the field?
No.
Never mind.
And I'd be Derek Jeter over all of them.
But the idea that you win two Super Bowls and get in isn't exactly true, right? Like,
yeah,
Jim Plunkett won two Super Bowls with the Raiders and did not get in. Everyone else who's won two is either in or is going in. Like, Ben Roethlisberger is going to the Super Bowl. He won a couple of them. Ben Roethlisberger is going to Canton.
Correct.
Peyton Manning is going to Canton. And I'm guessing Eli Manning is going to Canton. But he is a statistical anomaly.
He is. But again, the analytics side of the football world, who don't really like Eli Manning that much, if I'm being frank about it, are ignoring basic numbers. You might not like who's in the top 10 in passing yards career, but that's too bad. You might not like the fact that his record is what it is, but football's a team game last time I checked. I don't understand the hate. People just never appreciated Eli Manning's style, and he was never the most exciting guy to watch. And I think they're holding it against him, A, that, and B, how he looked basically in the last 5 years of his career.
Analytics suggest, like, advanced metrics that don't necessarily add up. Like, he played 14 full seasons in the NFL. He finished in the top 10 in passer rating once. He was 7th in 2011. He also ranked 20th or worse 6 times. And if you took his 5-year best span, it's 2011 to 2015. During that span, he was 19th in the NFL in passer rating, 20th in completion percentage, 15th in wins, 7th in touchdown passes, and 1st in interceptions. Like, these aren't advanced metrics. Like, these are basic football numbers, and just shows the roller coaster that Eli Manning rode his entire career. And I think that's what people are confused by. Because the highs were high.
The highs were the highest of the highs.
And the lows were the low.
I got a number for you.
So you beat the Patriots twice.
And you're the MVP in both games.
And you're the MVP in both games.
Yes.
Even though the numbers aren't exactly remarkable, but you got the MVP award.
And you won 8 playoff games in your career, 5 of them away from home.
You're in the Hall of Fame.
And you're top 10 in completions.
And you played
yardage and touchdown passes.
And you played, this is the one that I think is huge. You played 210 straight games.
Missing 0 games due to injury.
Right.
The only games you missed were because you really sucked towards the end.
Right.
Honestly.
Right.
I think that this case against Eli Manning, I think, is unfair. And it's people who just didn't dig his style. And I, to a point, appreciate that. But if that's not a Hall of Famer, shut it down. Like, Paul Henderson's a Hall of Famer.
All right, we can continue the conversation without him. Oh, Paul Henderson's a Hall of Famer.
Sometimes a Hall of Famer ain't just the numbers. There's context to all of it. That's all I'm saying. There's context to all of it.
I would love to bring that up in the context of other guys that we have talked about on the show, like winners.
Eli Manning's a winner.
Mm-hmm. So Dick Duff. So a lot of the hockey guys that people are. All right, Adam Rank next, sorry. Welcome back to Tim and Sid. I am Tim. Sid Sixero sits beside me, and people are suggesting that the team around Eli Manning got him the Super Bowl you're talking about, or the two Super Bowls that you got. And that's what the argument would be.
Well, listen, aspect of football is important. Breaking news. I understand that. I get that.
And Frank writes in and says there's no way he's a better quarterback than Marino. I didn't say that. No.
I said, whose career do you want? Because Marino, despite the numbers, till this day, is kind of a laughingstock compared to some other guys. And I hate to use that specific phrase because Marino was unbelievable. But lack of rings changes perceptions. But why all of a sudden it doesn't change perceptions on Eli is baffling to me. I don't understand where that comes from. I don't understand the hate.
Yeah, I wonder.
I really don't get it.
I wonder if you polled like Marino, Tarkenton, and Kelly and asked them if you'd take Eli's career over their career.
I
wanted to make sure that you clarified that because that's not what you said.
That's not what I said.
No, you said rather have, not who's the better quarterback.
Adam Rank, one of our favorites from NFL Network, is joining us as I can get more heated by the minute in this discussion with Eli Manning. Adam, it's great to see you, man. It's been too long.
Wait till he tells you that he's an All-Star. a Hall of Famer.
Should Eli Manning, in your opinion, sir, be a Hall of Famer?
First of all, I was told it was going to be Ken and Ivanka. I didn't realize it was
Ken. Wow.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, wow. But now you know.
I feel like Tom Brady. Like, I've switched teams. I've moved on. I've done all that stuff. And by the way, if you're talking about whose career would I rather have, does Dan Marino, does that include Ace Ventura? Because that, to me, puts that. You can have two Super Bowls, or you can be an Ace Ventura. I think either one of them. I think those are not equal, but. To me, when you look at Eli Manning and you say, should he or should he not be in the Hall of Fame? That is the question, because he's going in. I'm sorry to tell everybody, he's going to the Hall of Fame because of his family, because he played in New York, played championships. The only way he would be Hall of Fame winning would be if he played for the Rangers. You know what? Played for the Rangers, and he's going in. His career was great. You know what? At the same, by watching one of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time, I don't think that I was.
Adam, we're having a little bit of problem with the microphone right now, so we might call you back. Is that okay? I know Ken and Ivanka don't do this with you, but can we?
I have no problems listening to me. Now I disagree and I get cut off. It's perfect.
No, it's the phone. It's not you.
It's not you.
It's the phone, sir.
And listen, I don't want to lose you or your haircut, but we're going to call you right back, okay? Because I think you're a fine-looking man, and I don't want to put you on the phone, but we have to.
All right.
Okay, no problem.
We'll get back to Adam Rank momentarily. Again, I'm trying to recover from the Ken and Ivanka rip. It was pretty good.
We're taking a beating on today's
show. This is a rough show, man.
Yeah. Brian Burke, first Garbage TV.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he was comparing our Garbage TV with what else is happening this weekend, which would be an NHL All-Star game.
Well, first off, he's incorrect.
Which is pretty good.
He forgot to say Garbage TV and radio.
Right.
Right? Because
I corrected him. Don't worry.
Kenny the Jet Smith, we ask him flat out, is Pascal Siakam an All-Star?
Right.
And multiple times his phone just happens to cut out as well.
And now Adam Rank's phone.
Adam Rank's phone, it just happens to cut out as well as we discuss Eli Manning, whose press conference, again, is tomorrow, his retirement press conference. Are you surprised he's not going to play for another team? He could have found a job, right? Nah.
I don't think he has to, and that's part of it, right?
I think you're right. I think you're right. Adam Rank of NFL Network. We got him on the phone. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing well. See, this is what happens: is I make one crack, and now I'm relegated to the phone. It's okay. It's okay. No hard feelings on my end.
Don't you ever do it again?
Has nothing to do with it. So Adam, forgive us, because right when you started your initial answer, it started to cack out. Please repeat what you said regarding should Eli be a Hall of Famer. My apologies.
You know, I think he's going to be in. He's going to be a member of the Hall of Fame. It's one of those things that when you're in a certain family, you get certain privileges. It's like if you're a Baldwin or a Wayans brother, or if you're part of One Direction, whatever it is, even the runtiest of the brothers is going to get pulled along with everything. And because he's got the family lineage, he played in New York. He won championships in New York. He was going to get in. Now, was I watching one of the 10 best quarterbacks of all time when he was playing? I'm not quite so sure that I was, but he was serviceable. He was good. And I think that we can have this debate of whether he should be in or not and how do we judge quarterbacks. But the fact of the matter is he's getting in. I just don't think I was watching one of the 10, 15 best of all time while he was playing.
And the one thing that I'll add that I didn't add to Sid's argument earlier was there's something to be said about not pooping your pants in the biggest moment. And he played his best in the biggest moments.
Yeah, and he knocked off Brady twice. And I think that most people will sign up and be like, you beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl? You're my hero. You're in the Hall of Fame. And it's just the way that it is. And he ended that perfect season as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of emotion that'll go to it. And I think that for most people that the anti-Eli people, just join me. Just realize it's inevitable. He's winning. You know, it's like watching a rom-com. McConaughey's getting the girl. Like, we know. Like, listen, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar are going to headline WrestleMania. The sooner that you accept that, the more enjoyment you can have.
Does 2 weeks of preparation benefit a good defense or a good offense more?
You know what? I think that both of these coaches are going to be able to devise some ways to get their players open, to scheme them open. I really do believe that it helps the offense and gives them a little bit of an advantage. And I think that I know that the 49ers gave up a lot of points when Kwon Alexander was injured and Dee Ford was injured. But I think that this is a different team. This is a different test for them. And I think that this is going to be an opportunity for both Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan to go up and go wild, like to get into their laboratories and just kind of scheme something up. I think we're going to see one of the better Super Bowls. We've had a lot of good ones, last year being the anomaly, it seemed. But I think we're going to have one of the good ones, and I think it's going to help out both offenses in a high-scoring game.
So I take it you have Roman Reigns winning the Rumble this weekend? Is that a safe assumption, or are you going somewhere else with this?
No. First of all, Brock Lesnar, he enters at number one. We would love to see Matt Riddle come out or maybe Kofi Kingston or whatever. But, you know, the big dog's coming out. He's going to eliminate Brock Lesnar immediately, and he's going to stand out there. And at the end of the show, Roman Reigns is going to win. Just it's already written. It's in ink. It's not in chalk. And, you know, it's like, look, Brock Lesnar doesn't want to work 3 hours, so he's going to go out there, he's going to do his 3 minutes and get out of there, get his paycheck, and we'll see him at WrestleMania.
I still think a bushwhacker is going to take it one of these years.
Oh, you think so?
I still think Luke.
Oh, man.
Who's the guy who went to the ring and got eliminated in 3 seconds in the greatest moment in Rumble history? Was it Luke or Butch?
I'm just going to say Luke and then allow us to get ripped on Twitter, which I'm used to by now, so yeah, it doesn't matter. So it's like, yeah, okay.
Join the club there.
We might as well finish with this then. True or false? No, I'm going to ask a question here. It's not bushwhacker. We're not leaving on bushwhacker. True or false, you're excited by the thought of a halftime featuring Shakira?
That's true.
No?
I'm excited.
Really?
I'm into this.
Okay.
Shakira, J-Lo, like, yeah, let's do it. I was, at first, it was a stunning choice. I think there were some other people that they could have gone to. You know, my guy Pitbull. I don't know Pitbull, but I just feel like Pitbull and I would be friends. I think we would get along. I think we'd be pals. And, you know how it goes. All us balds stick together. So I think that I'm excited. It's the Super Bowl. I like all this stuff. I think that, you know, Shakira and all that going back, like when Lady Gaga came out, I think they've done a nice job. Katy Perry, like they've had a nice run. Like, oh, Bruno Mars with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Anthony Kiedis took his shirt off. It was 20 degrees out. Like, there have been some amazing moments in the halftime show. So I'm in. I'm excited.
It was indeed Luke who marched into the Royal Rumble ring, arms extended as a bushwhacker did.
Goes in the ring.
Earthquake is waiting for
Thank
him.
Thank you, Earthquake.
Earthquake tosses
but
him
then,
out.
But then the cherry on the sundae was he did the same strut right back to the room.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. That's what made it. He just kept going right back from whence he came. All right, his hips never lie. He's Adam Rank of NFL Network. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, sir. And we did end on a bushwhacker. But you know what? I would have it no other way. Thank you so much.
Correct. We did.
Been too long, Adam. Thanks for doing this.
You bet. My pleasure. My pleasure. We'll see you guys soon.
There is Adam Rank, NFL Network, right here on Tim and Sid. And if you might not notice, he's kind of a fan of the Rasta.
I love Adam. Love him.
Best Super Bowl ever? Maybe we'll do that next.
The one coming up?
No. I'm just saying, what's the best Super Bowl ever?
Oh, good question. We'll talk about it.
Or halftime show. Welcome back to Tim and Sid. We have about 4 minutes for what we call what we miss, but we also missed Kenny Reed because he's walked in studio and demanded that he get his shots on goal on our accuracy shootout. And he's already one for one, but we'll just, you know what, hold on. Roll the opening. Kenny, you gotta wait.
You gotta wait.
What?
Yeah. You can't go yet.
Well, he can just do it.
He's got, one for now, one, though. Now I'm intrigued because he got the first target.
One for one, Kenny Reed.
Oh, he's two for two.
But he went to the two lowest targets. He didn't go shelf.
Well, let's go high.
Like Uncle Timmy did early.
Let's go a little. Let's go a little 420 here, man.
The weakest from the herd. Oh, three for three.
Hold on a second.
Ken Reed. He's way closer than I was.
Has gotten three out of three targets. He's got upper right corner. Will he do it, Ken Reed?
For four.
This
for
is
four.
Your life. Go ahead.
Oh, you
failed
miserably.
You suck. Oh, it tastes like a fart. Oh, my God. There he went four for five.
Not bad for Kenny Reed.
Get the hell out of here, man. Who asked you to come in?
He's got his own music, too.
Punk.
Came in and went four for five. Not bad.
I could read highlights, too, you know.
What we missed is an article in The Athletic today about the chemistry issues in the Clippers locker room.
You
brought it up to you yesterday.
You don't say.
I brought it up to you earlier in the week. It's sending shockwaves through the NBA right now. Here's some interesting quotes from the story.
Okay.
I think it boils down to Kawhi not talking. So who's their true leader? Said one source with knowledge of the Clippers dynamics. How do you get around that? ? Isn't the answer the Toronto Raptors got around
it? How do you get around? Watch last year's finals. What do you mean, how do you get around?
What are you talking about?
What the hell does that mean?
On the court, sources say there are some teammates who have struggled with the organizational's preferential treatment that is afforded to Leonard and George. Guess who sat out last night? And guess who lost to the Atlanta Hawks?
LA Clippers.
Both those guys sat out.
And the Hawks didn't have Trae Young.
We said this last year, and I have to give full credit to Kyle Lowry, who you could feel like some of this load management, some of this, and then
It was around this time of year, too.
The Raptors handled it pretty well. They started giving other guys a little bit of load management. They handled it well. Kyle Lowry took a step back with his points. Pascal Siakam, you remember, kind of stepped into a lot of people, and this is what I was talking about with Westbrook and Harden. A lot of people don't understand you have to sacrifice in order to win. And there are guys with remarkable talent who never have to sacrifice, but everyone else on their team does.
Correct.
And I think a lot of Raptors did it really well, and now we're starting to see that in L.A.
Listen, Doc Rivers knows what it's like to have an interesting room, right? Like, they won in Boston. There were some type A personalities on that roster. Mm-hmm. So he's familiar with it. But to go to your point, Tim, quickly, credit to the Raptors for navigating these landmines.
Right.
And going on to win a title. We'll see if the Clippers have the same medal internally. The story
also mentioned a February in Atlanta when he sat out, even though they had been depleted by injury and people were kind of pissed off.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah, and that kind of changed the equation. And the Raptors get full credit for that. Just an update on Austin Matthews, because we only have 30 seconds here. He says about the wrist and not playing at the All-Star game or participating in on-ice
activities.
Events.
Yep.
It's been nagging for 2 or 3 weeks, hoping I can play next week.
He has 16 shots on goals last two games. If that's him with his wrist sore, watch out.
And let me tell you something. Sixero knows about wrists. That's it for us, kids.
It's a tough injury to overcome, man.
Up next, we've got CHL hockey on Sportsnet. London Knights visit the Windsor Spinfires. We're back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. Radio's got you covered. Nate Burleson tomorrow. All right, we're done.